Nekaj skrivnostnega je ležalo v tem kotlu, sprekati čudnih oblik in zapleteno z vitimi cevmi. Nikjer nobenega dima. Samo iz notranjščine je komaj da prodiral nekak šum, podoben podzemnemu klokotanju.
Kaj uživamo? Kaj nam v potrtih prsih up budi?
Otvoritve, premiere, projekti, predstave, performansi, rezidence, konference, predavanja, pametovanja, instalacije, razpisi, štipendije. Bistrimo se v destilatorju na Radiu Študent.
Kva te briga, sandežke!
Kje se konča žival in začne človek? Predzadnji dan februarja. Komaj uro po protestu proti sovraštvu pred parlamentom sta knjigarna Azil in založba Maska v atriju ZRC organizirali predstavitev knjige Zgodovina živali Oksane Timofejeve. Avtorici knjige se je na predstavitvi pridružila tudi Bara Kolenc, ki je napisala spremno besedo. V današnjem destilatorju bomo prisluhnili odlomkom predstavitve. Oksana Timofejeva se je rodila leta 1978 v Šuju v Kazahstanu. Trenutno poučuje filozofijo na Evropski univerzi v Sankt Peterburgu in je višja raziskovalna sodelavka Inštituta za filozofijo Ruske akademije znanosti v Moskvi. Je tudi članica umetniškega kolektiva Kaj storiti, urednica revije Stasis in avtorica knjige Uvod v erotično filozofijo Žorža Bataja. Naslov za knjigo Zgodovina živali si je izposodila pri Aristotelu, vsebinsko pa analizira podobo živali v filozofski tradiciji. Aristotelova Zgodovina živali naj bi bila tudi prva filozofska knjiga, ki jo je kupila pri 17 letih starosti. Da si želi biti filozofinja, je vedela že od osnovne šole. Medtem, ko so njeni sošolci hoteli postati učitelji, poslovneži ali gangsterji, je Oksana učiteljici povedala, da bi bila rada filozofinja. Kot Platon. Na spletni strani knjigarne Azil so ob delu Zgodovina živali zapisali. V naši kulturi je fenomen živalskosti, pa tudi njemu bližnji fenomeni, kot sta revščina in norost, nekakšen negativen zgled za človeško bitje, da se lahko z njim primerja in tako določi svojo naravo in bistvo. Konec citata. Knjiga Oksane Timofejeve je v angleškem izvirniku izšla že leta 2012. Leta 2017 je bila prevedena v ruščino, v slovenščino pa je bila prevedena po dopolnjeni angleški izdaji založbe Bloomsbury iz leta 2018. Oksana Timofejeva in Bara Kolenc sta za dogodek pripravili vsaka svoj seminar, saj je predvideni moderator dogodka Mladen Dolar zbolel. Timofejeva je na začetku razložila, kako je prišla do teme in naslova knjige.
I must admit that I intentionally borrowed the title from Aristotle. History of Animals. His History of Animals was actually one of the first books I bought. When I discovered this tiny book with an image of an elephant at the cover at the bookstore in Moscow, I was surprised and amused somehow to learn that such a serious philosopher could write a history of animals, and I immediately felt in love with this tiny book. Roughly at the time, I've got a wonderful white cat whose name was Pirat. I picked him up as a tiny kitten in Moscow underground from some old and very poor lady, and I gave her the sum of rubles that would now amount to 1 or 2 euros, just for good luck. I loved this cat as much as a lonely person can love an animal. I was living alone in Moscow studying, moving from one creepy accommodation to the other, and Pirat and I was combining my studies with some shitty jobs, like working as a scout in a model agency or something like this. I needed to have some money to survive in the city. So I was moving from one really bad room to another, and Pirat was always with me. In 1998, I rented a small, half-destroyed old house in a village in 20 minutes by train to Moscow. The streets in this village did not have names, but only numbers. They went parallel to the railroad, and mine was 11th. So every day I was crossing 11 parallel streets, or lines, how they were actually called, and every day my white cat, almost indiscernible on the white snow, was following me at some distance until the fifth line. I was worried about him running too dangerously close to the railroad because there were trains, but he only followed me halfway. The funniest thing was that when I was coming back after my classes or my work, the cat was waiting for me. I was working, the cat was waiting for me again at the fifth line, at the same place, more or less. I was intrigued by his behavior, but could only make speculations about it. Apparently, the cat could not stay outside all these long days when I was out. He must have returned home and then rushed back to the fifth line to pick me up, so to say. But how would he ever know at what time I would come back? I was trying to confuse this cat, coming back to the village with different trains in different times of the day, but the cat was keeping waiting for me at the fifth line. What did he do in between is still a secret for me. Maybe nothing. The cat had his autonomous existence.
Če je žival res bitje z lastnim obstojem, potem ima lahko tudi lastno zgodovino. Vendar živali kot subjekte ponavadi razumemo šele v razmerju do človeka. Tako tudi človeka pravzaprav definiramo kot človeka šele, ko ga razločimo kot tisto nekaj, kar je antipol živali.
It is Agamben's concept of the anthropological machine, a political and metaphysical machine that produces the human out of non-human and vice versa, that helped me to pick a lock of the door of Bataille's philosophy. Yes, eroticism is what distinguishes humans from animals, and this is exactly the problem, that there is something that distinguishes humans from animals. As a criterion, so for such a distinction, I realized that philosophers usually considered rational thought, language, or for example, consciousness of death, or whatever. And some are still doing that without engaging myself in a search for the true criterion of distinction between humans and animals. I started to analyze how such borderline is not only produced, but transgressed, crossed in one or another philosophical system or ideological narratives or cultural things. I started this new stage of my research in 2008 after completing my book on Bataille that was published in Russian. I had to fill the gap between these two books that influenced me, Aristotle's History of Animals and Agamben's They Open. They were even same size, and to make these authors meet at a neutral territory of my writings.
Bara Kulenc se v spremni besedih knjigi Zgodovina živali večino časa ukvarja s tem, kaj je želela avtorica sploh povedati. Je bila knjiga res le odziv na prezgodnjo smrt mačka pirata in s tem v bistvu del procesa žalovanja? Ali teza knjige sploh stoji, če iz nje izuzamemo živalskost? Kaj potem sploh ostane? Bara Kulenc.
First of all, I think your book is very important. Why? Because it forces us, in a way, to recognize an animal in us. The animal as something that determines us as in an innermost way. And how do you do this, force us to recognize this animal as part of us, as our own definition? You do this by opening a space for the animal to become a historical subject. And of course there is a question, what is a historical subject as such and how an animal can become a historical subject. First thing is that you set an animal as a subject. As you said, pirate had his own autonomy, strength, and freedom. This could be perhaps provisional definition of a subject. And historical, this is another question. Obviously, if subject is a subject, it sooner or later becomes also historical. So it brings about or builds up its own history. In the introduction to your book, you say that you will not talk about the history of philosophical discourse on animals, but rather open this space to open the space for historicity of animals in this broader philosophical and humanistic and political discourse. So contrary to the tradition of positioning animals as a non-historical nature, you presuppose that animals have a history and also that they are subjects. And it is this fundamental historical reality of animals, as you said, that needs to be respected. So this is the starting point. So I was wondering, what is this historical animality in my book? And I was first trying to detect its ontological and epistemological predispositions. I will not speak about this now, although I think I can mention the epistemological predisposition, which is because you mentioned pirate, and it's a nice example. So the pirate for you was also the unknown. So he had his own time, his own freedom, and his own secret. So we can say that an animal for us is always opening this space or the notion of cogitandum, as Deleuze would say. So cogitandum is something that it's on the transcendental border of thought. It's something that cannot be thought, but at the same time provokes thought in us. It forces us to think, although it cannot be thinkable. So precisely as unthinkable, it forces us to think. So this was a pirate for you. This is an animal for a human being.
Zgodovinjenje živali je potem takem možno le, ko oziroma če živali spoznajo in sprejmejo svojo svobodo. V tem spoznanju pa lahko sebe dojamajo kot subjekte. Nadaljuje Bara Kolenc.
And I trace the three main lines along which you capture this historical animal reality and where the space of this freedom opens up. So the three main lines or the three realms where you put the animals in or where you discuss the subjectivity of an animal. The first line would be the space of reason and knowledge versus insanity. The second would be the space of will and duty and moral law versus innocence. And the third would be the space of work and wealth versus leisure, laziness, and poverty. And within these three realms, I worked with those, you open up so many questions, so many figures, so many different thoughts of different philosophers upon, for example, a suicide, incest, freedom versus escape, like Deleuze. Then the question of human law, the example of animal courts in the history of Western legislation. Then the question of the insanity, question of poverty, the question of work, like for example, for Platon, animals do work, rather than as for Marx, they don't work, and that's why they differ from a human being.
Timofejeva nakazuje na možnost branja zgodovine filozofije kot zgodovine živali. To nam odkriva negativno podobo človeštva, ki je svojo živalskost vse skozi zatiralo. Med to zatrto živalskost lahko uvrščamo tudi neumnost, revščino, norost, hlapčevstvo, brezvoljnost, lenobo, podrejanje in podobno. Bara Kolenc.
And as Žižek says in the introduction to the book, your book directly confronts us with a question in face of which we can no longer waver. Are we capable of fully accepting our animality? Our own animality, which is always, we must not forget, the animality of the other. The animality that is in us as the inhuman, unreasoning, uncultivated and therefore unacceptable, suppressed, unthinkable. It's something that we perceive as foreign, as other, as belonging to another. To accept the animal that is in me, therefore, also means to accept the other that is an animal. It means to realize that if I myself am this otherness, then this otherness, which is beyond me, on the other side of the fence, on the other side of language, on the other side of the world, is also me. Acceptance might not be the best term, though, as it maintains the logic of the master. In line with your view, it's perhaps much better to speak about respect. So not Zizek's acceptance, your respect. Why is it important to recognize the animal as something that determines us in an innermost way? Because it is only with the adoption of inhumanity, which is our inherent part, that humans can establish themselves as political subjects. This is also what Agamben points to. He says that the decisive political conflict in Western culture that is the base of all other conflicts is the conflict between animality and the humanity of human beings. Today, this is perhaps even more essential than before, than ever before. It is important that we face the unforeseen effects of the Enlightenment and the broader humanistic project. Think about them and establish new procedures of grounding the political. However, in order to ground the political anew, in order to stage equality in an infinite series of events revealing political truth, we should take into account the specific material conditions of today's global free market economy and the fact that these material conditions, which is the way how we live, how we work, how we act, are deeply intertwined with a specific shift in the mechanism of ideology spotted by Sloterdijk in his Critique of Cynical Reason in 1983, where the cynical distance to the ideology becomes its very lever. We should deal with the fundamental discrepancy between what we think or what we know and how we act. So I was putting together the idea of the political in this paragraph, idea of the political of Badiou, Rancière, Agamben, and Arendt. And on the other hand, the idea of the political of Žižek.
Ena od kvalitet knjige Zgodovina živali Oksane Timofejeve je to, da nas opozori na našo lastno čudaškost, ki jo nosimo v sebi in je neznosna. Ker je neznosna, jo želimo od sebe prezrcaliti na druge, jo od sebe odmakniti. Eksternalizacija vsega, kar nam povzroča nelagodje, pa je tudi temeljna značilnost populističnega diskurza in hkrati temeljni problem današnje politične situacije. Oziroma postpolitične situacije, kot jo imenuje Bara Kolenc.
Political ecologist Eric Swingedo, he traces at least three lines of this externalization in today's political and broader social discourses. First is the externalizing the enemy. So it's always them, it's their fault. The problem is migrants, multinational cooperation, CO2 emissions, it's always them, the object, the other. Then the second is expecting that the solution or at least the instruction on how to act will come from the outside. So it's always them, the scientists or the experts who will tell us what to do. And the third is generalizing the political agent into the people. Or humanity. This is also Rancière's argument. It is not me, it is them, the people, no? who should act or who has a problem. So the problem of this externalization is that it is not dialectic. So of course we always deal with externalization, but the problem is that it is not dialectic, which is to say that the subject as a potential political actor does not assume it. It does not recognize this otherness as its own. And because it does not recognize this otherness as its own, the subject cannot enter the field of the other. So the field of social action, as the bearer of social changes. Even when we read the history of animals, we would like to understand it as a history of someone else, a history of beings that do not concern us. We would really like to read Oksana's The History of Animals like Aristotle's The History of Animals, but we are forced not to. No? Animality is something that humans have tried to get rid of through their history of becoming human. Humans are desperately determined in their fundamental difference from animals. This difference is a problem, but detecting the fact that this difference is a problem is only the first step. The second step is that we realize that we will not get rid of this problem, that we better deal with this problem, that we better understand it.
Proces človekovega lastnega prepoznavanja sebe kot različnega od živali po Agambenu rečemo antropogeneza. Vzpostavi pa se ravno skozi filozofijo oziroma z ontologijo kot začetkom čudenja in preizpraševanja biti. Nadaljuje Kolenc.
There are two fundamental modes of representing animals in the history of philosophy. Two paradigms of human self-recognition in opposition to animals. So two paths of anthropogenesis. First path is discontinuity, exclusion. And the second is, of course, continuity, inclusion. So the first, the exclusion, means that the animal is established as something fundamentally different, separated from humans. Not different. Separated from humans. While inclusion means that the animal is established as something fundamentally connected with humans. So the philosophical systems that are based on exclusion understand the animal as a being whose nature essentially differs from human nature. There is an unbridgeable distance between humans and the rest of nature, and the animal is the first behind the line. Such a distinction between humans and animals is ontological, as it establishes them as two originally separate modes of existence with entirely different access to being. This fundamental distinction, as Oksana says, starts from the idea of absolute human dignity that consists in having exclusive access to such things as logos, the good, truth, being, and the like.
Izključenost torej pomeni. Človek je ravno toliko človek, kolikor ni žival. V sistemih izključevanja se zato človek definira šele, ko se vzpostavi kot nečlovek. O tem smo lahko brali že pri Platonovem, Sokratu, Descartu in še nekaterih. Po drugi strani je po sistemih vključenosti med človekom in naravo vzpostavljena posebna vez. Ontološko naj bi namreč izhajali iz iste biti. Vseeno se podrazumeva, da je človeku tudi v sistemih vključenosti določena posebna pozicija nad vsemi drugimi biti. Človekov privilegij pa izhaja iz koncepta jezika oziroma zmožnosti mišljenja, dela, trgovanja ali česa podobnega. Bara Kolenc.
Human being as animal, like rational animal, animale racionale. An animal capable of thought. This is Aristotle's conception, which he explicated especially in History of Animals. I will not quote him. Only as a speaking animal can a human be defined as politikon zoon, a political animal, for Aristotle. Such a difference between humans and animals is not ontological, but hierarchical. Humans are indeed animals, but they are at the same time something more than animals. They are super animals. So, we would push Aristotle, Hegel, Montaigne into this box. So we have the systems of exclusion where human being posits himself as non-animal and systems of inclusion where human being posits himself as super-animal. But even though the two modes of representing animality in the history of philosophy are diametrically opposed, both conceptions are fundamentally determined by the same principle of defining animality in relation to humanity. It is always humans who draw the line, be it vertical line of separation or the horizontal line of connection. This is also Agamben's idea or point in this book open, Man and Animal. Which means that the inclusion of animals in the human world is only the flip side of their exclusion. So the same mechanism is at play here. The mechanism is essentially driven by the idea of an order. So Oksana is constantly like stressing this. It's about order, a cosmic order, a world order, a social order, a state order, which is, in the last instance, the order of moral law. From this perspective, though, we can see that the discourse of animal rights advocates is ultimately no less segregational than the discourse of their direct exclusion, today considered immoral. Today we are bombarded by several discourses that have been elevated to the dignity of a universal humanitarian discourse. I'm bringing Eric back. In those predominant hegemonic social-political discourses and practices, we can quite clearly see the traces of anthropogenesis. So anthropogenesis is here, and not only in philosophy. Let us take a look at two discourses, climate change and migrants. In these discourses and practices, the animal is put in the place of an external object. So first, migrants. The images of drowned people, dead children, refugee camps turning into concentration camps. Images of bare life, this is a common concept, people robbed of every human dignity. In these images, the suppressed image of otherness, which with the emergence of the Enlightenment project became indecent, that is the image of a member of another culture as a barbarian, an uncivilized foreigner, half animal and half human, poor and unintelligent, in an obscene way returns as a victim of this suppression, as its horrific flip side. So we just don't dare to say you are barbarian. But barbarian is still here. It's just suppressed. We do not dare admit that with the Enlightenment, the idea of the barbarian was not eliminated in the least, and that throughout the 18th century, the Enlightenment project fared quite well with the project of colonialism. Even more, it actually grounded it. The Enlightenment project, the project of basic human rights, equality before law, and political freedom in the sense of this equality, the project of the freedom of speech and universal suffrage, is a project that basically continues the project of humanism. Humanism has had two sides to it since Socrates. He's the inventor of humanism. He's said to be. On the one hand, humanism means self-construction, the task of becoming human. While on the other hand, it implies the task of showing the others what it means to become human. Whoever is in the process of becoming human is at the same time interpolated to civilize the barbarian, to turn the animal into a human being.
V času izolacije bi morda lahko povlekli tudi kakšno usporednico s človekom in domačo živaljo, ki ima je obema oduzeta svoboda premikanja. Za boljši razmislek glede tega pa vam je lahko do konca epidemije v oporo Zgodovina živali Oksane Timofejeve. Poživalila sem se Pijana.
Nekaj skrivnostnega je ležalo v tem kotlu, sprekati čudnih oblik in zapleteno z vitimi cevmi. Nekjer nobenega dima. Samo iz notranščine je komaj da prodiral nekak šum, podoben podzemnemu klokotanju.
Kaj uživamo? Kaj nam v potrtih prsih up budi?
Otvoritve, premiere, projekti, predstave, performansi, rezidence, konference, predavanja, pometovanja, instalacije, razpisi, štipendije.
Bistrimo se v destilatorju na Radiu Študent.
Kva te briga, sandežke!